Hi, this is Charles Wren on democraticfundamentalism.org. It is Thursday, January 9th, 2003. This is the News in Review. Well, as much as I've enjoyed pointing out the downside of the Bush administration for the last few months, well, all right, bashing George Bush's lack of domestic policy other than, well, you know, the policy of bankrupting citizens in the less than 1% upper income group, suppressing and arresting those who disagree with him, supporting fellow Republicans who still support the Confederacy, and you know, you just don't really want to get me started, but, you know, I promised George that when I announced my candidacy for the presidency, I wasn't going to bash him anymore. Well, since I haven't announced yet, and nothing is absolutely certain, I guess I won't be breaking my word yet. Soon, maybe I will. We'll be talking today about the latest economic benefits program for the wealthy. God knows they need it. For some reason, Republicans now have a strategy to make out Democrats as leading the charge on class warfare. And then there's the North Korea policy and the lies put forward by the Bush administration about North Korea and Iraq, as well as concerns by the United Nations that Bush and company will ignore them regarding Iraq. Yes, we will see if the United Nations is irrelevant and who will make them be that. Also, Arianna Huffington has launched a series of ads that spoof the Bush administration's antidrug.org commercials, linking marijuana use to supporting terrorism. A very strange twist of biblical proportions, a disturbing story that relates to the collapse of African cultures and infrastructures and cannibalism. Yes, I did say cannibalism. And again, an ominous array of topics. Before we get into the news, though, I do want to welcome those of you linking in from other sites to let you know that on democraticfundamentalism.org, we have links to full stories concerning the topics I'll be talking about. Just go to the News in Review link from the front page of democraticfundamentalism.org and select the text version of this report. You'll find the news links there and a music mix that goes with the report, too. As always, I want to point out that my recommendations about CNN are based on my own research over a couple of years concerning the accuracy and thoroughness of news reporting on a consistent basis. I highly recommend CNN. At the same time, I want to make it clear that I'm not in any way affiliated with them and receive no benefit from them except the benefit of the information they provide. Fact is, they love it that I recommend them, but they like it even more that I'm sure to point out that they have nothing to do with me. They point it out all the time. Sort of like the Democratic Party, but that's another story. With that, let's get into the news. First up, George Bush announces an economic program. He says double taxation is wrong. You know, I have to agree with George on this one. Don't tell anybody I said that, though, all right? Double taxation is definitely wrong, which is, of course, why I opposed Ronald Reagan's policy of taxing unemployment and Social Security benefit payments, among other things. Nonetheless, the people Bush and company think should bear the load of taxation are those people who can least afford it. They say a serfs, or as Democrat John Edward puts it, kind of annoys me, we regular people should pay for the administration of this country. They say that rewarding the wealthy will eventually have the trickle-down effect of allowing us regular people the opportunity to have a job, even if it is at much lower pay with fewer benefits and rights. These people, these regular people, who are affected often have to decide between, you know, silly things like eating, heating their homes, taking medication. If that isn't serfdom, I don't know what is. You know what serfdom is? It's basically when the government subjugates its people. You know, typically kings and royalty do this. They put the people in the position of having to work all the time to survive with little left over. Keeps the people busy and keeps them from being able to accumulate wealth, which often translates to power. Republicans say that they only passed a 13-week unemployment extension for nearly 2 million Americans because to give them more time would demotivate people from seeking employment. They seem to forget that the Bush economic policies and the lack of jobs by manufacturers is the reason for the unemployment. It's not 9-1-1 and it's not terrorism. It's supply-side economics. But the thing that bothers me most is that the latest Republican propaganda campaign has them claiming that anyone who disagrees with Bush and actually has the audacity to speak out for the rights and well-being of people who aren't wealthy must be engaging in class warfare. Keep in mind, Bush is the one who declared class warfare, not the Democrats. It began with Charles Rangel proposing that reinstatement of the draft. Rangel said that if America was going to declare itself a warring nation, then all Americans should be exposed to an equal amount of danger and responsibility. He says that the disproportionate number of minorities who go into the military service because of potential educational benefits and a lack of other vocational opportunity, not to mention recruiters and advertisers who sell modern warfare as something akin to playing video games. Anyway, that this imbalance in those who comprise our troops should be equalized, citing that if all Americans were potential candidates for mortal danger in combat, and if all parents faced the possibility of losing a child in war, that maybe Americans wouldn't be quite so eager to have a government that is quickly becoming viewed worldwide as an aggressor nation. Remember, when it was time for George Bush to serve, he went AWOL. It was time for Cheney, as he put it, he had more important things to do than take chances with his life in the Vietnam War. I'll only add for the record that when I became eligible for the draft back then, my number came up. I would have been drafted, but fortunately they ended the draft. And I only say fortunately because, as we all know, Vietnam was not a just war. But the idea that all Americans should face the dangers of war, according to the Republicans, that is class warfare. I can only see how they come to that conclusion if you see it from their side, which is that we're supposedly attacking them to suggest that they should face the same dangers as us regular people. They're the ones becoming defensive and attacking Democrats. Here's what Mario Cuomo had to say about it. He said, class warfare? He declared the war, Cuomo said at the National Press Club. He said, we're going to give all the money to the rich. Cuomo is pushing the Democratic Party to sharpen its difference with the Republicans on issues such as tax cuts, declared, we're not the ones who started the war, we're just defending ourselves against his attack. The former governor joined other Democrats in criticizing Bush's 10-year, $674 billion economic stimulus plan as favoring the rich. The president has tried to inoculate himself against such charges, saying last week, some Democrats would like to turn this into class warfare. Personally, I've talked a great deal about classism and elitism, but I view it as an opportunity to discuss it with the American people and find ways to promote more equality and opportunity and use it to unify us as a nation. George Bush, in his typical cowboy way, prefers to turn everything into war. Even national policy of a nation that is supposed to serve the best interests of all the people. Enough said on that topic. Let's see, just for a moment, let's review it. Let's talk about the propaganda and lies told by the Bush administration to cause Americans to believe that we should go to war. In regard to Iraq, first they said Iraq had ties to Al-Qaeda, then they said they didn't. They talked about how horrible it is for Iraq to have used chemical weapons on its own people and against enemies, but failed to acknowledge that America tested chemical weapons in the 60s on Hawaiians and Americans aboard military vessels, not to mention that we gave the chemical weapons to Iraq in the first place. Rumsfeld and Bush have repeatedly claimed they have evidence that Iraq still has weapons of mass destruction, but they're not going to disclose it before attacking Iraq. Sounds like Bush. Leaders around the world, including Chirac of France, are concerned that the U.S. will act unilaterally despite any recommendations by the United Nations. And remember, Bush was the one who said the U.N. must prove it isn't irrelevant. Me, like Bush and company, are the only ones causing the U.N. to appear irrelevant. And by the way, the Caspian Sea pipeline? Yeah, that was being sought by Unocal and GE and others in Afghanistan. Last week, the deal was made. They got their pipeline, the one the Taliban was willing to approve of if they got more money for their part in the project. Remember, in March 2001, after negotiations broke down with the Taliban regarding the pipeline, the United States threatened them with military action. 6 months later, Al-Qaeda destroyed the WTC and part of the Pentagon. As for North Korea, Rumsfeld first said that the nuclear plant North Korea threatens to restart had more power than North Korea's power grid could handle. And the next week, Colin Powell said the power plant wouldn't produce enough power to help the North Koreans with their problems with heating, given the U.S. embargo on heating oil. Now, even the South Koreans are claiming that the United States government is treating them like they are lower-class people. Remember, I don't have to make this stuff up, and I could go on and on and on with examples of how Bush and company manipulate the American people into being afraid so they'll be willing to go to war, and how they make aggressive remarks that are inciting governments around the world with talk of war and threats. It's no wonder that other nations fear us and want to take steps to defend themselves. There's a word the Bush administration still needs to look up in the dictionary. The word is diplomacy. It's the same word your least loved playground bully in elementary school never heard of. I never have understood people who think that the way to make peace is to threaten the governments of other nations. In the long run, it will cause us to be the target of wrath by other nations. And frankly, that doesn't sound like a government working in my best interests. Enough said on that subject. In other news, Arianna Huffington has launched a new campaign about SUVs. Her group, the Detroit Project, has been running ads that both make fun of the Bush administration's anti-drug.org commercials, suggesting that if you smoke marijuana, you're sending terrorists. The Detroit Project makes the point that while the Bush administration is waging war and complaining about America's dependence on foreign oil, they have no problem acquiescing to auto industry lobbyists who want to continue selling SUVs, which are more dangerous to ride in and use 2 to 3 times the amount of fuel as most other passenger vehicles. Americans are responding in typical Bushonian fashion. They'll buy into the idea that marijuana purchases fund terrorists. After all, the U.S. has hundreds of billions of dollars invested in the perpetuation of lies that made marijuana illegal in the first place. But Americans reject the idea that buying all this oil from countries that support terrorist activities is wrong. I think Charles Barkley expressed it in the way most Americans think about it. He was on CNN's Talkback Live on Wednesday when Arianna Huffington suggested that Americans not purchase large vehicles. He stated that he had just purchased a Hummer, which gets 9 miles to the gallon, and that he would go buy another one just to piss her off. That's an exact quote. And it's just the kind of Bushonian cowboy approach that's dividing this nation. It's the kind of example being provided by Bush. And it doesn't look to me like someone bringing honor to the White House. Why do I keep bringing this back to Bush? Because he sets one of this nation. And his motto is clearly, might makes right. And it obviously rubs off. By the way, if you'd like to check this out some more, go to Arianna's website. It's at thedetroitproject.com. Well, I figure I've done enough Bush bashing for now. I'd hate to be arrested, you know, as an enemy combatant for giving him a pug nose or something. So let's talk about the wonderful world of entertainment. First, a synchronicity moment brought to you by, who knows. I've often made remarks about how I don't often watch broadcast TV and very few of the pop culture programs. I'm just, you know, watching this. And, well, I've been wondering how, if I do run for president, how would I cause people to remember how to spell and pronounce my last name? It's Rehn, R-E-H-N. Well, you know, while I was sitting here writing this, I looked up and saw Trista Rehn, star of the new reality TV show The Bachelorette. She was the runner-up on the program The Bachelor this last fall. I never watched The Bachelor. Anyway, here's the official scoop. I don't know if she and I are related or not. She looks like a Rehn from my family. She spells and pronounces her name the same way. And I checked not too long ago. There weren't that many Rehns across the country. And my family is from the San Francisco Bay Area. She's from Florida, but a generation younger than me. Imagine my surprised glance up there and see the name Rehn on the screen. Like I said, it's not all that common, and I'm going to get back to you on whether we're related. It would just be kind of fun. I want to thank her, though, for publicizing the name, getting it out there, making it more common. 6 weeks, The Bachelorette. Let's see, in real entertainment news, the Rolling Stone magazine says rock and roll is back. all based on the new album released by The Vines. Speaking of rock and roll, the Yardbirds are cutting their first album since 1968. You may not know this, they later turned into Led Zeppelin. Eight artists: Springsteen, Eminem, Crow, Nelly, Neo Soul artist Rafael Sadiq, and newcomers Ashanti, Norah Jones, and Avril Lavigne. Tied for the lead with five nominations apiece, Springsteen was nominated for Album of the Year for The Rising and Song of the Year for the September 11th inspired title track, this of course from CNN. Also nominated for Album of the Year were Eminem for The Eminem Show, 2002's best-selling record, the Dixie Chicks for Home, Nelly for Nellyville, and Jones for her jazzy Come Away With Me. Let's see, if you haven't seen it yet, go out and see Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. It's fantastic, and the best news is, Frodo lives. It's good news, you know. If you get a chance, check out a movie you'll find on cable. It's called All the Power to the People. It'll send a shiver of mine. It's about how the U.S. government sanctioned murders and set people up on criminal charges in order to shut down organizations that were considered dissident. All the way through 1989 and the Reagan administration. It's All the Power to the People. And there's a new book out called Cold Harbor, which is about Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant, and who was the better general. I won't tell you what the conclusion of the author was, but I'll just say, like I have before, that Uncle Ulysses may have gotten drunk and fallen off his horse a time or two, but he never sold out democracy. Turns out he did a pretty good job at winning the Civil War, too. The final story of this report, a rather bizarre one, but one that really could be of biblical proportions. Remember, I'm not trying to preach to anyone. At the same time, the Bible at some points talks about the flesh eaters. Couldn't figure out what that meant. You know, it could mean a lot of things, you know. Beings or conquerors or bioorganisms or bacteria that would wage war on people and then eat them. Mind you, this is just something to consider, but there are reports of pygmy cannibalism in the Congo. This, again, reported by CNN from Nairobi, Kenya. UN team is investigating reports that Congolese rebel troops have killed and eaten pygmies in northeastern Congo, according to a UN official. The UN is taking these accusations very seriously, they said. The six-person team has been in the province of Ituri for the past week looking into the accusations that forces of the rebel Congolese Liberation Movement and its allied Congolese Rally for Democracy National killed and ate pygmies in the dense tropical forest. Speaking by telephone from the Congolese capital, the UN spokesman declined to give further information until investigators left the area. Other UN officials, speaking on condition of anonymity, said investigators have established that the charges are credible. The two rebel factions often hire pygmies to hunt food for them in the forest as they fight to oust the rival rebel Congolese Rally for Democracy Liberation from mineral-rich areas of Ituri province. If the expert hunters return empty-handed, rebel troops kill them and eat them, the official said. The Program for Aid to Pygmies in Binai, a Congolese advocacy group, called for help for the pygmies who said they were threatened with extinction. Pygmies, not all of whom are below average height, are believed to be the earliest inhabitants of Central Africa. An estimated 600,000 live in the Congo. It's unacceptable that the international community focuses on protecting endangered animals like the okapi, the mountain gorilla, and the rhinoceros, and pays no attention to the fake human beings, like pygmies, who are nevertheless every bit as much in danger of extinction, according to the group. The problem in the Congo may be thousands of miles away, but it certainly provides an excellent example of what lengths people will go to in order to survive. Think about it. Definitely something to consider, given what's going on in the world today. With that, we'll call it a wrap. This is Charles Wren, DemocraticFundamentalism.org. You have a great weekend.